Revelation chapter 1, and we'll commence reading at verse number 8. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in the book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of God, or the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as it had been burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Verse 18 again. And when you come to that word, amen, I want to hear you to read that. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. That's a very miserable amen. Come on, friend. Just let's hear you say it. I am he that liveth and that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Let's stand for a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just hand the rest of the meeting over to Thee. We pray You'll help me to preach this word that You've given me. Glorify Jesus in this meeting tonight. Pray that You'll bring young people and older people to Christ, that they might see Him whom my soul loveth. May they receive Him as their Savior, for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Just after the Second World War, there was a Methodist preacher in London. His name was William Sangster. He contracted a disease that gradually paralyzed his body. Bit by bit, his body started to be paralyzed until eventually he was nearly all paralyzed. Just a few movements in his hand, and then finally his vocal cords, they were paralyzed as well, that he couldn't speak. It was an Easter Sunday morning. His daughter came to visit him. In actual fact, it was his last Easter Sabbath on earth. And his daughter came to visit him. He couldn't speak to her. He beckoned her to bring a piece of paper. And using his stiffened fingers, he scribbled a message on the page. And this is what he scribbled. He said, how terrible to wake up on Easter and have no voice with which to shout, He is risen. And then he stopped for a moment and he pondered. And then he added this, far worse to have a voice and not want to shout it. He's risen. In this last chapter of this last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, we find indeed that verses 17 and 18 are verses I'd just like to leave with you. It says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And friend, let me tell you, this was a word of great cheer that God gave His child, His servant John. Because you see, John was suffering for his master. He knew what it was to suffer. He'd be a suffering servant of his blessed Lord Jesus. Some years ago, there was a group of men that used to go to a high school, and they would play basketball in the Saturday evening. There was an old man that was the caretaker of that high school, and he, of course, had to wait until the men had finished their basketball game. He would allow the men, and then he would make his way to a spot that was secluded from the men as they would play and as they would shout the one at the other. And he would sit in the corner, and he had a book in his hand, and he would read it, and it was none other than the Word of God. This old saint of God would sit there, and he would prepare his heart for the next day, the day of the Lord. And whilst the men played their basketball game, he would meditate upon the Word of God. Until one night, one of the men happened to see him sitting there, and he walked over to him, and one of the young men said to him, he says, "Tell me, what are you reading, sir?" He said, "What is the book?" He says, "I'm reading the Bible." He says, "What are you reading in the Bible?" He says, "I'm reading the book of Revelation." The younger man sort of laughed and sneered at him, and he said, "Well, tell me this. Seeing that you're reading it, do you understand it?" And the old man looked at him with a smile on his face, and he says, "I sure do. It says Jesus is going to win." Friend, let me tell you tonight, Jesus has already won the victory, for He won it at Calvary. And as you look here in the book of Revelation, and John is there in that isle called Patmos, and he's suffering for his testimony for Jesus Christ. You see, the church of Jesus Christ at this time was going, in the Roman world, was going through severe persecution and suffering for their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, that's the experience, the everyday experience of God's children. I noticed when John, when he's writing there, if you go to verse number 9, he says, "I, John, who am also your brother." And he said, "I'm your companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ." You know, John was the only surviving disciple at this time, or apostle. He was almost 100 years of age. He was the youngest of the disciples. The rest of them had now died, and they suffered persecution and martyred for their testimony for Jesus Christ. And John has left, but he's suffering. He's secluded in that isle called Patmos. And yet as he thinks of this, and he's writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he said, "You know, I, John, who am also your brother." He thought that was a privilege for him. Just being a child of God, to be able to say, "Listen, I'm in the family of God. I've got brothers." Sometimes whenever we're lonely, friend, maybe there's no one around us, and maybe it seems as if that there's nobody there, and we're secluded and we're all alone, maybe by situations in life, maybe by circumstances. But you know, thank God, we're a part of a family. And John's writing, and John's saying, "Listen, I, John, who am also your brother." Just thinking about that, you know, brethren ought to take care of each other because they've got a common interest. You see, they belong to the same family, the household of faith. They're adopted by the same Father. They're born again of the same Spirit. They have the same elder brother. They're washed in the same precious blood. John's writing here, and he says, "You know, I'm your brother." And then he said this. He says, "I'm your companion. I'm your companion in tribulation." And those that will live godly in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. And every one of us will realize sometime or other in our lives that we will have to go through tribulation. But God can give us a grace just to persevere in the midst of all that onslaught of hell, amidst of all the opposition of the devil and the persecution that the devil will bring against us, God can give us the grace because He says, "My grace is sufficient for you." John was banished, listen, an old man. I don't know whether he had many bodily needs at this time, but I know he was old. And there he's banished because of the Word of God, friend. It's not because of some evil he has done. It's not because of some sin that he has committed. He is banished there in that isle called Patmos for the Word of God and for his testimony for Jesus Christ. And in the face of that great opposition, John is given a mighty vision. And the Lord graciously draws near. He's the Lord's servant. And he said he's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And God gives to him a message. Verse number 12, it says, verse chapter 1, verse 12, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me." God spoke to him. Ask your question. When was the last time the Lord has spoken to you, friend? When is the last time that you've been still before the Lord? And you've said, like Samuel of old, you had an open heart. An honest and an open heart to say, "Lord, please, I've got ears that are listening. I want you to speak." You know, God speaks through His Word to us. When was the last time that God has spoken through His Word to your heart, friend? That you have been quieted before Him. And as you have meditated upon His precious Word, it just seems as if you heard His voice. And John says, "I turned to see the voice that spake with me." And he says, "I saw seven golden candlesticks. And there in the midst of the seven candlesticks, there was one like unto the Son of Man." Oh, he never forgot that scene. Then I read in verse 17, "And when I saw him..." Friend, I want to tell you tonight, that ought to be your desire, that you will see him. That you might know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. And I believe that as John was there and his heart was open, and he was in a day of adversity, but his heart was open for the Lord, and he was in the Spirit in the Lord's day, and he heard the Lord speak to him. And he said, "I turned, and he saw one standing there in the seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst he saw one like unto the Son of Man." And he says, "And when I saw him," he said, "I fell at his feet." He's dead. He acknowledged his unworthiness. He acknowledged his nothingness. He said, "I fell at his feet." But notice what happened, friend. It says, "And he laid his right hand upon me." He said, "You know, when I fell at his feet," he says, "the Lord touched me. The Lord touched me. I felt the touch of God." Oh, tonight, wouldn't that be amazing, wouldn't that be mighty, if you could feel the touch of God upon your life tonight? And hear the voice of God, friend, getting your eyes of the world. I said on Thursday night, I said as we were gathered here, friend, listen, get your eyes of man and get your eyes upon the Lord. And people are so caught up with man today and so caught up with circumstances today. Listen, let me tell you, they've got their eyes of the Savior. And that's the major problem of the church tonight. Their eyes are of Christ. And their eyes are upon man. Their eyes are upon people. And they've got their eyes of the Lord. And they're disappointed in man. And my friend, they're discouraged. And they're disgruntled in their heart. Why? Because they've taken their eyes of the one who will never disappoint you. His name is Jesus. And John said, "Listen, and I saw him." Isaiah the prophet said, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, "I saw the Lord." He said, "You know, when I saw the Lord, he was high and lifted up. And he was upon the throne, and his train filled the temple. And the glory of the Lord filled the house that night." Oh, that the glory of God would fill this house. And friend, that you would honestly say before God, "Listen, hear from the world
we turn Jesus to seek. Hear me His tender voice. Just tenderly speak. He said, you know, not only did I turn and see one like unto the Son of Man, He said, I saw Him. And He said, I fell at His feet as dead, humbling Himself. And then He said, the Lord touched me. He touched me and He said, fear not. A message of cheer. And I want you to notice, friend, this message of cheer was for three circumstances. It was a message of cheer for life. It was a message of cheer for death. And it was a message of cheer for eternity. Just come with me for a few moments tonight. You see, He said here, fear not, I am the first and the last. He says, I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Oh, this is Easter Sunday. And whilst others go to their tombs, and whilst others go to their so-called gods of wood and stone, and they bow themselves and abase themselves before them, thank God when we go to a tomb, praise God, outside the city walls of Jerusalem, and we enter into the tomb that was hewn out of the rock, the tomb's empty. Because He says, I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Listen, because He liveth, friend, He delivers us from the fear of life. You know what the Lord's saying is this, we don't need fear to live when we have the Lord. You know, it's an amazing journey, the journey of life. When you stand at a little child's side and you lift the little child up in your arms, friend, for the first time, Daddy, and you look, or Mommy, and you look into their face, and you, whenever you just examine the little features and the little faculties that God has given, and your heart's so filled with thanksgiving, you ever wondered what life's going to mean for your child? I look at my grandchildren, and I often wonder what they're going to face as they grow up. And my heart goes out to them because I don't know what they're going to have to face. I do believe that suffering times are coming again. We've never known what it really is to have persecution for the testimony of Jesus Christ. We heard Sister Kate last Sunday night give her testimony, and she said that the razor was held to her throat and her mother would have cut her throat because she gave her heart to Jesus. That's all her crime was. She gave her heart to Jesus. You and I have never experienced that, have we really? But our forefathers did. And the martyrs laid down their lives just as John and the rest of the disciples, friend. John was an old man. He was an isle of Patmos. But the rest of the disciples, they died a martyr's death for their testimony for Jesus Christ. It is said that Peter, that when Peter was crucified, that he would not allow himself to be crucified like the Lord. He begged to be crucified upside down. No one could ever take the place of his Lord. Friend, here we find that the life's journey, what lies before them, I don't know, life with its meaning. Listen, God has a purpose for your life. You know, God has given you life. The Catechism asks the question, what is man's chief end? In other words, what is the real purpose of being here? You think that God put you in this world for no reason at all? Friend, no, I believe that God has a purpose for you. God has a reason why that you and I are in this world tonight, and God has placed us here for a purpose. And the Bible, or the Catechism said, man's chief end is to glorify God. In other words, the main purpose of my existence in this world is to bring through the life that I live for the glory of God, and that I might glorify Him, and that I might enjoy Him forever. Can I ask a question, child of God? Is your life glorifying the Lord? Honestly, before Him? That life that you're living here before others, is it bringing glory to the Lord? Honestly before the Lord, friend, remember one day you stand and you'll give an account of the life that you've lived. You'll give an account of your stewardship and your service for Him. But let me ask you a question. Can you honestly say, listen, the life that I'm living it in the purpose and the center of the will of God. And the purpose that God has for me. Listen, our young brother Kerry was telling us that God had put a burden in his heart to go to China. Let me tell you this. If that's the purpose that God has for you, brother, there's no other place for you. Living in the center of the will of God. Life with its meaning. Life with its mysteries. Have you ever stood in the midst of life and wondered why? Why God is taking the road that God has. I was this afternoon in Randallstown. And in Randallstown they were ordaining 3 elders. But friend, let me tell you something. Since the election of those 3 elders, 2 of those elders have cancer. One of them was hardly fit to step up, to take a stand, he's so weak. And the other, a good friend of mine also, was diagnosed last week. He's got a 30% chance of life. And I think he's 46 years of age. Life with its mysteries. You say, what's God doing in the lives of those 2 young men? Let me tell you, friend, He's working out His plan. But let me say this. The Lord Jesus said, listen, fear not, John. You don't need to be afraid, John. You see, I am He. I am He that liveth. He says, listen, I'm the first. He says, I'm the last. In other words, and I'm everything in between. In other words, I'm the one in control. I believe with all my heart that I'm immortal till the Lord's work for me and with me is done. And He'll keep me here. And then He'll take me. I was thinking about this, you know, life with its responsibilities. Life with its relationships. Life with its remembrances. Maybe life with its remorses. Life with its renderings, tears and brokenheartedness. And then life with its removals. What a journey. And you and I are on it tonight. Listen. But because He liveth, I don't need to fear to live. Because I've got the Lord with me. He said, because He lives, we shall live also. A life that's worth living. Let me ask you, friend, before God, is your life really worth living? Are you living life with a capital L? I spoke about it this morning and saying, life in its relationship to God. and life with its relationship to fellow man. Oh, I fear not to live because He liveth. Very quickly tonight. He said, I am He that liveth. Mark the next part. And was dead. Remember, He touched John and He said, listen, John, the old servant of God, He said, listen, don't be afraid. You see, fear not to live, but fear not to die. I find, you know, as a preacher, sometimes people, if you talk about death, they just don't want to talk to you. They don't want to know it. Somehow they want to bury their head in the sand. The very thought of death fills them with fear. We started life with a cry and we'll end it with a sigh. And friend, there's those that say to me, but preacher, how do you know about death and what it is to die? Sure, nobody has come back to tell us. Let me tell you, friend, they're wrong. Jesus said, I come back to tell you. Because He says, I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is this, we don't need to fear dying. Why? Because He said, I went into the valley for you. He said, I went into death's domain. He said, I met death. He said, I conquered death. I've come to tell you, you don't need to be afraid. I went into the chamber of death, said the Savior. I explored every portal in death. And I'd come back with the keys of death swinging at my girdle. For I'm the victor over death. Oh, He died, friend. They wrapped Him in death's clothes. They laid Him in Joseph's tomb. And then 3 days He walked out of it. And they saw Him for 40 days that followed. He said, I am He that liveth, but I am He that was dead. You're in the service tonight and you know the Lord. Let me say something to you. You don't need to fear when it's your time to go. The Lord is my shepherd. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He said, I will fear no evil. Why? Because Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I heard a preacher say one time, you know, when the shepherd boy, David, knocked out Goliath, that giant with the stone. You remember He put the stone into the sling and then He swung the sling round and then he fired and aimed it at the giant and the stone went into the giant's head. And immediately whenever the stone sunk into his head, the old giant fell down. And as the giant fell down, young David ran, not away from the giant, but he ran up to the giant and he took the sword that was in the giant's hand and he took it out of his hand and he cut off the giant's head with his own sword. Friend, let me tell you, that's what Jesus did with Satan. Because using the devil's own weapon, death, Christ defeated him. Let me read to you. Hebrews chapter 2, 14, it says, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He, that's Jesus, also Himself likewise, took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And with His own sword, with His own instrument, friend, thank God, Jesus took the devil's own weapon, death. And Jesus defeated him. And He did something else. Verse 15. And delivered them who through fear of death were all lifetime subject to bondage. You see, there are people who are afraid of death. And Jesus says, listen, you don't need to be afraid. Because I am He that was dead. I read an interesting story this week in preparation for this sermon. There was an old Scottish Presbyterian minister. His name was John McNeill. And John McNeill preached 6 mighty sermons years ago on the 23rd Psalm. And when he came to that verse, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," John McNeill used an illustration from his own childhood. He told the congregation that he was in a poor Scottish family many years ago, and he had to go away from home to work, and miles away from home, and went to a community and would work there from Monday morning to Saturday night. And then when Saturday night would come, John would start the journey home, and he would walk those miles home because it was coming to the Sabbath day. And they always would come home on the Sabbath day, for the family would go together to the kirk. And they would worship God together as a family. He said sometimes, you know, when he was working, he would be working very late, and he was always afraid of that, especially in the winter months, because he knew it was so dark. He said he remembered one night. He said he was working to very, very late on that Saturday night, and he was making his way home. And he was making his way down a lonely country road, miles he had to walk. And in those days there were highwaymen and there were robbers. And it was very easy to find yourself robbed or killed. And here's a young lad, and he's making his way. He's making his way from where he was working, and he's making his way home for the Sabbath day. And he said, "It was so dark this night I couldn't even see my hand in front of me." And he said, "I was groping my way home." And he said, "I tell you the truth," he said, "I was so afraid." And he said, "You know, as I walked in the darkness, not only did I hear the crunch of my feet along the path, but," he said, "in the distance I could hear the sound of feet coming." And he said, "I thought, I'm finished. And I was afraid." And then he said, "I started to run, and it seemed to be that the feet were running." And then he said, "It would stop." And he said, "The feet would stop." And he said, "I was so gripped with fear in the blackness of the night. And I was waiting for the highwayman to come and finish me off." And he says, "I could hear these feet. And then in the darkness," he said, "I heard a voice. And it said, 'Is that you, Johnny?' And he said, 'I recognized it was the voice of my daddy. For my father knew the night was dark, and his boy would be afraid. And my father came to meet me.' He said, 'From then on, what did I care about the darkness?' He said, 'My protector, my champion, my great defender had come. And I believe that he was more enough for all the robbers of the darkness of the night.' And he said, 'The rest of the way home,' he said, 'I walked the valley of darkness without fear, for my father walked with me.'" And here's John, an old man. And he said, "I saw him," and he said, "I fell at his feet as dead. And he put his hand on me, and he touched me, and he said to me, 'Fear not, John. You don't need to fear. Don't need to fear life.' Because," he says, "I am he that liveth." And he says, "You don't need to fear death." Because he said, "Listen, I entered into the very chamber of death." And he said, "I took the sting out of death. Because I was dead. I've been there. And then he says, you don't need to fear what comes after. Because notice what he said. He says, I have the keys of hell and of death. You see, friend, keys represent ownership, authority, control. In other words, he's the one in charge. And the future doesn't hold fear for the child of God. Listen, I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Some of these days, some of these moments, you and I will be called into eternity, friend. But I don't have to fear death. Do you know why? Because on the girdle of my blessed Savior, there hangs the keys. And it's all in His hands. My Father's in control. My Savior. My blessed Holy Spirit that dwells within me says, and witnesses, fear not. Life nor death, nor eternity. Paul said, you know, absent from the body will just mean present with the Lord. Natural fact, he said this. He said, for me to live is Christ. And to die, I gain everything. Heaven's home, the Father's house. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you afraid of the journey of life? Wonder what's around the corner? What you're going to have to face this week or next week? Do you fear death? That moment whenever you've got to close your eyes, friend, listen, and every other friend stands by, and their voices just die into nothingness, and your eyes are dim, and you can't see, and you're taken out across the river. Death's real, friend. Do you fear it? Do you fear eternity? There is nothing worse than to die without Jesus, because he says, where I am, ye cannot come. You'll die in your sin, and the wicked were cast into hell. It's Resurrection Sunday, isn't it? I serve a living Savior tonight. And praise God, He lives within my heart. You come to Him. You receive Him. Now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Thou knowest the hearts of this congregation. Thou knowest those that are Thine and those that are still wandering in sin. Thou knowest our God, just every person here, their condition spiritually. Thou knowest, Lord, whether they're dead and trespassing and sin, or whether there's the life of Christ within them. Oh God, if there are those that are not saved, would You save them tonight? That those that are backslidden, please bring them back. Show them how much You love them, Lord. Oh, may they feel the touch of God upon them tonight. The hand of God upon them, even as we wait before Thee. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, and in a moment or two we'll have a cup of tea, but listen, can I ask you, do you know the Lord tonight? Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Young woman, in God's name, you need Jesus tonight. More than anything else, you need Jesus. Young man, you need the Savior tonight. Your life will never be right. You can try the world and taste the world as long as you want, but you'll never be satisfied with the wells or the waters of the world, because they'll mock you as you stoop to drink. You need Jesus. Will you come? Father, mother, grand or granny, boy or girl, come as you are, just as I am.